In 18th century science, there was a landmark event that drew Captain James Cook halfway across the world to observe. It was the 1769 transit of Venus across the Sun in Tahiti. As it happens, the next transit of Venus will occur in June 2012, and that's the last chance in your lifetime to see this rare planetary alignment. The story of science's fascination with this planetary event has now been told in a new book titled Transit of Venus, 1631 to the Present, written by Dr. Nick Loam, former curator of astronomy at Sydney Observatory and author of the annual Australasian Sky Guide. I caught up recently with Nick in our Melbourne studios.
Good morning, Fran.
Nick, sending James Cook on an expedition halfway across the world just to watch a planet move across the face of the Sun, why was the transit of Venus so important to 18th century science?
It was a way of measuring the size of the solar system, how far the Earth was from the Sun and how far the different planets were from the Sun. That was the universe that they knew, and they wanted to know how big it was.
Still, sailing across the world to observe it, pretty risky business. What if it had rained on the day?
Well, it would have been unfortunate, and there were a lot of events like that, that people did sail across the world or travel to distant places, and then they were battling clouds, and unfortunately that is always a problem in astronomy.
Nick, before we go any further, can you describe for us what it looks like, this transit of Venus, and how long it takes?
The transit of Venus is when Venus moves across the Sun, and we can see the dark disk of Venus as a silhouette moving across. It's relatively small. It's about 1/30th of the width of the Sun. It takes about 6.5 hours. Everybody can see it, but you have to take precautions because looking directly at the Sun is dangerous and can lead to blindness.
So let's go back a long way now before James Cook. Another man was watching Venus. Your book begins in 1631. Tell us about Johannes Kepler, his project on watching the transit of Venus. How did he even know that Venus would be transiting then?
Kepler himself did not see a transit of Venus, but he was the man who was working on the motions of the planets, and he's the one who worked out the three laws of planetary motion, with the first one being the planets move in ellipses around the Sun, and the other laws that describe the velocity of the planet, how it changes as it moves around the Sun, and with his third law, which was the very important one for the transit of Venus, which relates the time that a planet takes to go around the Sun to the distance of a planet around the Sun. And that was extremely useful because astronomers knew the time that the planets took to move around the Sun, and that gave them the relative distances of different planets. Kepler himself worked out that there would be a transit of Venus in 1631. Unfortunately, this took place at night time in Europe, where all the astronomers were located at the time, so nobody saw it. Then the next transit in 1639, he actually missed, but that was noticed by a young British scientist called Jeremiah Horrocks. He was just a young kid of 21 years old, a young man, and he worked out about a month beforehand that in early December 1639 there would be a transit of Venus, and then he was the only one with one friend who actually saw it at that time.
Because that's an important and perhaps strange element of this, that the transit of Venus occurs every 100 and something years, but it occurs twice within an 8-year period, and that pattern has been duplicated.
That's correct. So that went on 1631, 1639, 1761, 1769, which is 1769 was Cook's transit, then 1874, which was extensively observed from Australia, 1882, and then the last one was 2004, and a lot of people would have seen it in 2004. And now in 2012, 6th of June next year, will be the last chance we'll have for over 105 years.
The Captain Cook's involvement in the transit and measuring the transit of Venus to help get these accurate measurements is an important one, but he nearly got it wrong. There's great controversy about the measurements he took. Did he get it right or wrong?
He got it right. He did extremely well. He and his astronomer, Charles Green, got very accurate measurements. But they did not realise that they did so, because it was much more difficult to observe Venus moving across the Sun. They tried to actually measure the instance when Venus was just touching the edge of the Sun, both when it entered and when it left. That was much more difficult to do than anybody realised. And they were rather concerned that they did not get good results. And Cook and Green Green were both rather upset. Of course, if they had known that other astronomers elsewhere in 1769 had the same problem, then I think they would have felt much happier about their observations.
You're listening to ABC Radio National Breakfast. Our guest this morning is astronomer Nick Lom, who's just produced a new book, a wonderful book called Transit of Venus, 1631 to the Present. So, Nick, from these important measurements, these expeditions of people all around the globe, what did we come up with?
Well, people made progressively more accurate measurements of the distance from the Earth to the Sun. It was not easy to measure the exact instant when Venus lined up with the edge of the Sun. And this is because of a very infamous effect called the black drop. It became legend about around the transit of Venus. This black line that connected the Sun and Venus as they were just about to touch. And astronomers, when they were training to observe transit in 1874, put a lot of effort into working out how they're going to handle the black drop.
And is it still so important to science these days, the black drop and the transit, or is witnessing a transit more of a novelty?
It is a novelty. It is something that everybody can watch and enjoy, but it has its interest in explaining the past. When amateur astronomers use their telescopes today, it explains what was seen by Cook and people in 1874 or people in the 17th century. So it is an opportunity to see something that is very great significance in the history of astronomy and history of science.
It happens in June next year. Tahiti was prime viewing space in 1769. What about Australia? Are our southern skies good for the 2012 transit?
The geometry is very good for us. We will see the whole transit from beginning to end. 8 years ago, or 7.5 years ago, June 2004, we just saw the beginning of it before sunset. But in 2012, we will see it from beginning to end. So Australia will be one of the prime spots in the world.
Nick Lom, thank you so much for joining us on Breakfast.
Okay, pleasure to talk to you, Fran.
Astronomer Nick Lom and Transit of Venus, 1631 to the Present, will be launched tonight by Robin Williams from Radio National Science Show, of course, here in Sydney. And Nick suggests that you can see the transit from anywhere in Australia next June, but if you want to witness it from the very beginning, the sun will be low in the morning sky, so the best vantage points are up along the east coast where you can see the horizon. And remember, this is very important, never look directly at the sun, especially through a telescope. Transit of Venus, 1631 to the Present, is published by New South Publishing in association with Powerhouse Publishing. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 10 minutes to 7.